Father, we thank you that not only do you reign in the heavenlies, you also reign in our lives and in our hearts. And for that, God, reason, we have come. We've come to allow you to reign, to speak directly into our hearts and into our lives, into our very existence. That, God, we would be more like you, that we would be more like Jesus, that we would respond to your spirit, respond to your will for our lives, that, God, we would learn to love on one another and love on this world who doesn't know you. For we were all once apart from you. We were all once going our own way. But then you grabbed hold of our hearts. You drew us to yourself. And now, God, as we look to you, we ask, fill us to overflow. Fill us with your presence. Thank you for the gift of worship and to sing to you. Now, God, we pray by your word that you would speak to our hearts. Speak to us clearly, God, that we would have ears to hear what you want to say to us. That we might apply these things, live these things, and see you work in mighty ways. We love you, God, so very, very much. We ask your blessings upon this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Open your Bibles with me, if you would. A couple places. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy is where we will start. And of course, as we've been going through the book of Titus, we are in Titus chapter 3. So if you came today without a Bible, simply raise your hand so you can follow along with us. Titus chapter 3 is where we'll be studying, but I want your Bibles open to 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we will start. Obviously, some people from last week's service didn't listen to me, and I told them to be here this week. Well, we've come to the final chapter of the book of Titus. And what Paul's going to do as he begins to wrap up this letter, he's given some instructions. He's told Titus what he wanted him to do. He told him that he left him in Crete to set in order the things that were lacking in the churches there. He wanted him to appoint elders over the churches to make sure everything was done decently and in order. He told Titus to shut the mouths of the false teachers, to make sure that he was interceding and standing in the way to make sure that those false teachings weren't getting to the believers. And all the while, he was encouraging Titus to speak truth, to speak doctrine. And that's what we've been studying over the weeks as we've been going through Titus. But one of the last things he's going to tell the church here is to encourage them to not only live godly lives, not only live biblical lives, but also to remember everything that Paul has taught in the past. And in chapter 3, Paul's final words are to remember those things that we already know. Remember those things that Paul already taught. And I don't know how long you've been a Christian. I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord, but I would hope over those years that you've learned a few things, that you've listened to teachings and you've read your Bible and you know some of the biblical truths that are written inside Scripture. But why is it we forget? Why is it every now and again we just forget what the Scriptures say? See, it's important for us to remember what the Bible says. And not only remember what it says, but to do what it says. And so in the final chapter, Timothy is basically, or Paul is telling Titus to remember to do good, to remember to do the things that you know. I don't know about you, but I need to remember those things myself. Especially when difficulties come, especially when trials come. God, how am I to respond? How am I going to get through this? How are you going to show me your will in this particular trial? God, help me to rely upon the things you've already shown me. You know, when you read the scripture and you pray and you seek the Lord and you sit under teachings, hopefully the word is getting into your heart. And you may not remember every single thing off the top of your head, but when the time comes, that scripture should rise up. That scripture should go, okay, this is how I'm supposed to respond. This is how Paul responded in that situation. This is how Titus responded in this way. And this is how Jesus dealt with those issues as they could become confronted in our lives. So it's good to remember the things that we've been told. And Paul did to Titus the same thing that I've got you in 2 Peter, because Peter was very clear and very passionate about doing this very same thing in his life. So look with me, 2 Peter chapter 1, skip down to verse 12. I love this area of scripture. I have it highlighted in my Bible and words circled because it's so important that we realize these things. Verse 12 says, "For this reason, I will not neglect to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." So they already knew them, but he was making sure that he reminded them of what they knew. Verse 13, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent," or in his body, alive, "to stir up in you by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Peter's coming to the end of his life, and at the end of his ministry, at the end of what he's been teaching and showing and describing to people, the truths about the gospel, the truths about Jesus. Now at the end of his life, he's saying, "Look, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to not be here anymore. And I'm going to make sure, as long as I'm still alive, I'm going to remind you of how you're supposed to act. And in fact, I'm going to make sure that there's some things that are going to help remind you after I'm gone." Three times in these four verses, he says, remind, 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 to be reminded. And that's really, honestly, what most of us in this room need. I mean, you probably have read through the Bible a number of times. If you haven't, I encourage you to do that. Every single, I don't know, in a year or 2 years, read through the scriptures. Make it a practice in your life to read the scriptures, because then when you read them, they're in you. But to really understand that we need to be reminded about truth. And when I sit down and talk to somebody who's going through a difficult time, my job, honestly, is quite easily. I just have to show them what Jesus has already told them. To remind them the situation that they're in is not hopeless. To remind them that the circumstances of their life are not hopeless, that God can work. To bring faith and to bring hope into people's lives. Just remember. Did you hear that? That was crazy. I was like, is that the voice God is speaking? Did you all hear that? But honestly, isn't that really what it is? You know, the enemy wants to blind us. The enemy wants to cover our ears and our eyes from knowing the truth of the scriptures and to get us in a place of panic, when all we need to do is just remember, oh God, you're good. And just remember to do those things. See, if you're like me, you need to set reminders for everything you need to do. You know, I've got computers, I've got reminders, alarms to help me remember appointments that I have. There's no way I could remember all those things. I mean, it would be terrible if I had to remember every appointment of every day throughout the week. No, I've got it written down. I've got people helping me remind me, and I've got people emailing me saying, "Hey, Dave, don't forget we're having lunch." And it's all these things that we need, those reminders in our lives. So for you, do you have those reminders to help remind you to do the things in life? And do you have those things in place in your spiritual walk to help remind you of the goodness of God and the power of God? I mean, it's like kids, all of you parents, you know. When you tell your children to go brush your teeth, you got to tell them, use toothpaste. You know, go upstairs, wash your hands, and use soap. Right? They got to remind them. You know, wash your hands, just sprinkle it under the water. There, they're clean. No, you have to be reminded. And in the same way as Christians. as God's kids. God's saying, don't forget. Remember. Don't forget what I've told you. Jesus said it time and time again. I'm telling you these things. I'm teaching you those things so that when I'm gone, you'll know. Say goodbye to 2 Peter. Go with me to Titus, because that's exactly what Paul is telling Titus here in, the final chapter. We'll look at the first 8 verses of chapter 3 and look at a few things and try to apply these things to our lives. You see it in verse 1, chapter 3, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, this is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Give me your attention. We need to remember to do good. We need to remember to act and respond properly in our lives. And that's why it's so important to be covered in prayer, to be a prayerful person, and to start out each day, each week, each experience with prayer to be ready for whatever is in store. Say, God, help me today. Help me get through this day listening to you, remembering the things that you have shown me. And that's what Paul says right in verse 1. Remind them to be subject to the authorities. He says, remind them. And the reason you need to be reminded, I'm going to remind you, is because you forget, right? We forget, especially the things of God. Those are the things we forget first. Why is it it's easier to read a magazine than it is to read your Bible? Why is that? Why is it easier to talk to family and friends than it is to pray to God? I mean, honestly, when you're talking to your friends, do your thoughts ever just wander and you stop talking to that person? You're having a conversation and all of a sudden, whoa, hello, come back. But we do that with God, right? Lord, I'm going to pray. And wait, I got to go shopping and I got to pick up the kids. And oh no, my husband's going to be home, so I probably should make dinner. We wander. But when we don't do that with one another. Thank God. Why is it easier to remember the lyrics to songs than it is to remember the Holy Scriptures? Why is that easier? Why is it easier? And you know, hey, memorize the scripture, you know, the lyrics to worship songs, that's cool. Because most worship songs are scripture. That'll help. But why is it so much easier to do the things of the world than it is to do the things of the Spirit? Why is that? Well, could it simply be a matter of passion? Could it be just a matter of where you put your confidence or your trust, passion in those things? Because Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow. See, it takes time to transform this fleshly body, this physical body, into a spiritual being so that you hunger for the things of God, so that you hunger for the things of the Scriptures. Guys, if you've experienced the powerful ability of the Word of God to speak to your life, once you get a hold of that, once you realize that and say, wow, God spoke to me through his word this morning. God prepared me today through his word, and I experienced it in the afternoon after I read it. Once you experience the word of God, guess what? You're going to go back to it. Oh, you can read magazine after magazine. You can read novels and helpful books on helping you be a better person. But this book right here is going to help you be a better godly person. This book right here is going to teach you how to act, and it's going to go absolutely against everything in the world. And there's the challenge. You know that whole saying, well, everybody else is doing it? Well, don't. Don't do it. Are you wanting to please God? Or are you wanting to please people? Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Where is your passion? Is it to be equipped for every good work? Because that's what the scriptures will do. That's what being in fellowship will do. That's why I love the fact that in this church we have different things, different opportunities for people to get together, study the Word of God, Bible studies, ladies' Bible studies, different events, focusing on the Lord, the things of righteousness. I love the fact that we can have a relationship with each other, enjoy life, but still with the mindset of, let's make sure we please God. Let's make sure we do those things. He says in verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Oh boy. To be subject to the authorities over us. This word subject is to bring under, to control. It's the word for submission. It's a military word that means to arrange in a military fashion under the command of a leader. Paul is telling Titus, remind them what I told them in Crete. That they need to be subject to the authorities over them. And you know what? Many of us in this room are going, well, I'm not going to submit the authorities over me. Our government is corrupt. Our leaders don't even think about God. It honors God when we submit under the authority that we're over, that's over us. It honors God to be respected, even down to the levels of your boss and your managers. It's an important thing, an important aspect of a Christian to submit under. Now, don't do things that will go against what the Word of God says, absolutely not. But to be submitted under the authority that God is putting over us. See, it's so easy to point fingers at the leadership in our country or anywhere. But if we were asked to step into that place, do you know how hard that job is? I always think that. Yes, I wish they would do different things. I wish they would do, you know, have Bible studies on in the White House. I wish they would do those things. But you know what? If I was in that place, all eyes looking at me, man, that's a hard job. It's a hard responsibility. So we need to make sure we pray for those. In fact, that's what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 2. You'll have it up overhead. It says, Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for what? All men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Nowhere in the scripture does it say picket. Nowhere in the scripture does it say make your voice heard, speak out. I mean, certainly we should speak out for the wrongs, absolutely. But it's good, lead a quiet and peaceable life. I don't know about you, I want a quiet, peaceable life. You know, living out in the country, just quiet. I visited my dad this week in South Carolina for 3 days. It was so quiet there. I was like, oh, this is good. You can hear God's voice out there. You know, there's so much noise in our life. There's so many things that are distracting us and coming into our minds, into our heads, that we can't hear God. We need to get away and get quiet. See, we need to make sure that we're praying for the authorities over us. And I guarantee that if you pray for the authorities over you, you have a much easier way, not much easier time submitting to that authority. And do you know what? When you pray for them, God sends his angels to move in their hearts. God is the one that can direct the hearts of men. And if we're praying for them to be thinking about things and to make good decisions and good godly decisions, we do it. I pray we do it in our churches as our church leadership. We're praying for our church leadership, but why shouldn't we do it as our leadership in our country? Praying that God would move. Today's tax day. Sorry to remind you. And here we are talking about submitting up under the authority. Are your taxes done? Have you finished your taxes? You got till midnight tomorrow, I think, right? So many people in the church don't want to pay taxes. There's people in the church, I know, that don't want to pay taxes. Not in this church, another church. And nobody really wants to. But honestly, if we all put in our fair share, If we all do what's right, it helps this country run. It helps us have roads. It helps us have traffic lights. Can you imagine if we ran out of money and all the traffic lights got turned off? Whoa. These are the things that we do, and these are the ways we do it. Jesus said this, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God the things that are God's." We should submit to our authorities and certainly do the best we can as Christians to honor God in those things. But pray for them. Pray for them. He also goes on and says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. To be ready for every good work. You are to be ready for every opportunity that comes to you. Every opportunity. Prepared to do good at every moment. Because this is what honors the Lord. Are we prepared? Are we ready for good works? Oh, Paul said it this way to the church of Philippi. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. See, if our focus and our mind is always on the negative and always looking at the problems and always, why is that person doing that or why is this happening this way? Listen, that's what's going to make us ready to be complainers. Where Paul tells the church of Philippi, make sure you meditate on the things that are true. Make sure you meditate on the things that are noble and just and pure and lovely. Put your thoughts there because that will prepare you for opportunities. That will prepare you to think about and to reason about and keep a mental record of the things that are good. Keep those things always at hand to be ready for those things. And honestly, this was my prayer this week as I was traveling over to see my father. I was like, God, I just want to be more available for you. I just want to be more focused on you, that I'm not distracted by my desires and my wants and what I want to do on these days. And I want to be just everything available to you more, God. That was my prayer. And God answered that prayer. God brought people into my life that were hurting. God put people across my path that I could encourage and minister to. He even brought the gentleman that came by who said, once he found out I was a pastor, once you find out you're a pastor, they want to talk about spiritual things. But this guy said, well, I'm the first atheist you'll ever meet. I'm like, well, I don't think you're the first, but you're pretty bold about it. But this gentleman, older man, retired, was in war, was in Vietnam, and he killed a lot of people. And because of that, he has a hard time with God. And because of that, he feels like God cannot forgive him. And I really wanted to minister to this guy, but it was already 11 o'clock and he'd already had too many drinks. So ministering to him was not going to be work, not something that was going to work. But listen, there was a hurt man there. There was a heart that was broken. He'd done a lot of bad things. He'd taken a lot of lives. But I wanted this man to know that God still loved him. I wanted this man to know that God still cared for him and he could forgive him for what he's done if we would reach out to God. But this man has already made it up in his mind that God, there's no way a God would forgive him because that God allowed him to do that. Guys, we need to focus on the good and the things that God can do in and through our lives if we repent of our mistakes. You hear me? Don't carry that stuff with you. Don't drag the old stuff along with you in life. Leave it at the foot of the cross, ask for forgiveness, and then live a joyous life that God has given to you through forgiveness. Because that's the heart here. To be ready for good works means you've got to be ready to know that God's already forgiven you before you can share with someone else that God will forgive them, no matter how bad the situation is. Gosh, I pray that the church would be more loving, that the church would be more caring, that we're trying to put these yokes over people's lives that, oh, you have to live this way if you want to be a part of our group. No, 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 no. You just need to be a humble person that wants to submit yourself to God and be willing to work in a way that God will work through you. Listen, let's face the facts. We live in a disobedient society. We live in a society that wants to look and live the way they want, take advantage of every situation, every circumstance that's under authority. They want to figure out ways around it. In fact, I was just watching a news article. You know those self-scanners at the grocery stores, at the Publix and stuff? There's people that are figuring out ways to steal stuff through those self-scanners. You know? They enter in the code for bananas, but they're weighing coffee, more expensive. They're figuring out ways to loopholes. I mean, is that how we live our lives? I don't think we should do that as Christians. I think we should be honest and right in the things that we do. If we're taking coffee, we should pay for coffee. To be honest, not to figure out ways around this authority. No, we're to submit to that authority. Be prepared for every good work. Again, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses be overhead. But it is in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. See, it's our job as Christians to make sure we take care of the junk that's in our lives, to deal with those things that dirty us up in the world. And to ask God to help us, give us new eyes and new hearts and new ears, that when we hear those dirty jokes, we say, I don't want to listen to that. Or when we hear things on TV, turn that off. It's corrupting my mind. It's corrupting my heart. It's corrupting my thoughts, so that we'll be a vessel of honor in the use of God. Are you ready to do good? I don't know what it was with me. As I grew up, if somebody, my parents told me to stop, I stopped. If my parents told me to do something, I did it. I just followed rules. It seemed easier. My brother, on the opposite hand, 2.5 years younger than me, if they told him to do something, he'd find a way around it. If they told him to stop, he'd continue to do it. He was just that rebellious type of person. What is the difference there? What is it that makes us want to be like that, to be disobedient? How was it you grew up? Did you listen to your parents or did you fight against your parents? I think we live in a time where there's so much disobedience that even our kids want to rebel and want to question and want to negotiate. I always say that when I see, you know, parents tell their children to do something and the kids are negotiating. It's like, wow, I never had that negotiation process when I was a kid. You did it or you got it. Okay, I'll do it. Made sense to me. Oh, verse 2. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. To be respectful here. That's what Paul's saying. Remind them to speak evil of no one. I like this stronger translation that says, do not slander anyone. Do not slander anyone. Do not speak blasphemy. Do not speak falsely. Do not accuse anyone, misrepresenting their character. This is not something that Christians should do. And I would encourage us all as homework to let us try to go for 1 week not to slander or speak negatively towards anyone. Good luck with that. Especially if you're around someone who likes to complain, especially if you're around someone who likes to point out other people's faults, whether they're there or not. Oh, Paul was all about pointing out false teachers. Paul was all about pointing out those who are doing wrong. And that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying don't speak evil about anyone unless you know the facts. Please, let's make sure that in Proverbs 17:9 it says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Got to be careful with the things that we say. So don't say anything that isn't going to encourage or lift up someone. If you've got something bad to say, do me a favor, don't say it this week. Don't say it. Keep it to yourself. Keep it in an attitude of prayer. So Paul basically says, remind them to do good. Remind them to act like Christians. So important. But look at verse 3. He also says and reminds us of what we used to be. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. What I love about this is Paul groups himself in that. Do you know Paul was one of the greatest Pharisees? Says he, Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was, according to the law, faultless. And here he says beforehand, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived. Paul groups himself in there. No, listen, no matter how good we are, before Christ came into our lives, we were not good. And maybe some of you in this room have always known Jesus. Maybe you've grown up knowing Jesus your entire life, and God bless you. But for some of us other ones, we know that there was a time when we did not live for Christ, when we didn't know the Lord. This guy right here, man, he lived his life for himself for 26 years. Selfish, trying to, you know, earn the buck, you know, do all kinds of bad things I'm not going to tell you about. But you know what? It's good to remember that. It's good to remember from where you've come. It's good to be reminded of what Jesus has done in your life. Oh, there's no doubt we want Jesus to do more in our lives, and there's no doubt there's things that we're hoping that he'll open doors and close opportunities that will distract us. But listen, when we remember what he has done, we are just humbled with thanks. Humbled with thanks of the Lord. The things that we once were. And I really would love to say that this is just a picture of the world. Apart from Christ, before we came to know the Lord. But you know what? Sadly enough, it can also be a picture of the church. That on the outside, we put this facade. On the outside, we're loving and we're caring. But really, in our hearts, we're talking about each other. We're gossiping about each other. We're ridiculing each other. We're not being those loving people that God wants us to be. And that's why Paul says it. Don't forget what you used to be. Don't forget how far God has brought you. And don't forget how close it is to get back to that place. Don't forget that. Remind them to do good, Titus. Help them to remember how they used to be. And how did we used to be? We used to be just like this. But what happened? Something happened in our lives. Look at verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Wow. Do you remember the day you got saved? You remember the day that your heart was opened to Jesus Christ? That moment when God said, I am going to show myself to you. I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to show you how much you care. When your eyes were open, and all of a sudden, for me, it was like, wow, what took me so long? Why was my head so hard? Why would I not accept this? I used to make fun of Christians. You know, the Jesus freaks and the born-againers. I mean, I remember this growing up, and it's like, oh, God, forgive me. Never forget how God grabbed a hold of your life. Don't ever forget that. Write it down somewhere. Write it down in the front of your Bible, the date you got saved. And don't forget that. Don't forget all that he has done and what he has revealed to you. Be thankful for the mistakes you've made because he's taught you through those things. That's what's important. But don't miss this. Paul says in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You know, as I look around the room, I see people. I'm like, they're saved. I know you're saved. Yep, they're walking with the Lord. But the reality is, I have no idea. The reality is, we have no idea who's saved and who isn't. There's only one person in this room that I know who's saved, and that's me. That's me. Oh, I remember what I used to be, and I've seen what God has done in my life, and I'm so humbled that all that was my willing heart to say, I don't fully understand it, but the life I'm living is not bringing me satisfaction, and I believe that if I put my faith and hope in Jesus Christ, that there'll be something greater. And oh, was there? Oh, was there? But it was nothing that I did. Paul says, listen, it's nothing that you're going to do. It's no effort on your part. It's everything that Jesus has done. Guys, I want to set some people free here this morning. You're trying to work out your own salvation. You're trying to keep yourself in God's good graces, and it certainly is a good thing, but listen, Jesus Christ saves you. Jesus Christ saved me because of what he did on the cross. All I do is put my full hope and trust in him and do the best I can to be the best Christian that I can be. To not be acting like I used to act, to not respond like I used to respond. As I was driving on the highway to South Carolina again, I missed an exit, and I tell you, Pastor Rob got furious. Because you don't want to miss an exit around Atlanta. You'll add an hour and a half to your trip. I'm a witness. And I'm telling you, I was like so frustrated. I was glad nobody else was in the car. And I'm glad I wasn't on the phone with anybody, because I was like, you stupid jerk, what's wrong with you? I mean, I was so frustrated. But God turned it to good. Because the traffic going that way was a parking lot. The traffic coming back, by the time I went 2.5 miles and turned around, was wide open. So God worked it out for good. But the frustration that was in my heart, I was like, Pastor Rob, how can you act like that? Nobody's looking. But the Lord saw. God saw. And it was humbling to me. Listen, it's not what I do. It's what Jesus has done. And I wasn't less saved because I acted that way. Guys, there's people in this world that want to tell you, you have to do this, do this, do this, and do this to stay saved. You know what you have to do to stay saved? Stay close to the Lord. Stay seeking after him. Stay in love with him. Walking in the direction that he's going. I want to be careful what I say here. If we're going in the opposite direction than God has for us, then we're walking in disobedience and we need to be careful. But don't let anybody tell you or question your salvation. If you know in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you're saved, period. Okay? Now desire to walk with him. Desire to honor him, because that's what it's all about. It was after a men's retreat that a pastor was driving home from the retreat. And as he's driving, he goes, man, that was a great retreat. I did pretty good. Man, I should do this more often. Maybe I should go and do these men's conferences more often. Wonder what God's going to do with my life, because that really was good. And as he's driving, he looks up and he sees this sign. And the sign used to say this, world's finest jerky in town. But as he read that sign that day, the Y had fallen off. And it said, world's finest jerk in town. And that pastor thought to himself, I hear you loud and clear, Lord. Because it's not what we do. It's not what you do that gets you saved, keeps you saved, or anything like that. It is absolutely everything that Jesus done. It's so easy to get caught up in ourselves, placing all of our attention on me, me, me. How did I do? How well did I perform? How well did I present? And we get so caught up in that. And there's nothing wrong with looking back at your week and saying, how good did I do? How faithful was I to God? But don't look at that as a gold star or not on God's list. He loves you no matter what. And salvation is a free gift from him. Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Is God living in you? That's the truth. Because I believe with all of my heart that if we truly live for ourselves, if we truly are living for what we're going to get out of Christianity, we're not going to be satisfied. But as Krista said, if we're here to worship the Lord, if we're here to bless him, we're going to be blessed. Your life will be blessed. And I believe it's when we get in the way that we hinder the work of God. When we get in the way and say, oh, I got to do good for God. And we certainly should do our best. I believe as Christian, we should give our all 100% in the Christian, even in churches, we should give more than we would do ever in the world. I believe that with all of my heart. But we certainly do our best and prepare and study and all those things, but we have got to give it to God. Put things in his hands. Let him worry about the outcome. Stand back and say, look what God did, not what I did. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration. Washing of regeneration, basically that word, those words, born again. New life. When you give your life to Christ, the washing of the Holy Spirit comes over and rejuvenates you and restores you. That means to be born again. The phrase refers to the work of the Holy Spirit. When someone's heart responds to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit cleanses them from all unrighteousness. That's why God can look at you and be well pleased, because you've been cleansed from all of your sins. You've been renewed. You've been born again. And being born again is necessary to get in heaven. Say goodbye to Titus. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Pick up right in the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak with what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe it if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The truth is, being born again means giving your life to Christ. Being born of the Spirit, washing of regeneration that the Holy Spirit does. You can't clean yourself. You can't tidy yourself up enough to be able to present yourself holy before God. That is something that the Holy Spirit does. And it's my hope and prayer that most people in this room have done that, have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says in John 3:16 again, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You got to believe who Jesus is, but it's got to be more than that. You got to believe and you got to follow. You got to believe and you got to put your trust and your faith in Christ. The Bible says even the demons believe. So it's more than just believing who Jesus is. It's believing who he is and then saying, "My life is yours, Lord. Now have your way with me." That's what it's all about. That's how it's about submitting yourself to the authority, again, talking about authority, the authority of the Holy Spirit. Are you saved? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you absolutely confident that you're going to go to heaven? Gosh, there is no greater thing than to know that you're going to get to go to heaven. But no, and it's not about what we've done. It's about what the Holy Spirit has done in your life and continues to do. Are you grateful for the things God has done in your life? Remembering what he's done, remembering those things and the way we're supposed to live. This is what Paul's saying to Titus. Remember what you're supposed to do. Guys, we're supposed to act like godly people. I believe that we as Christians should be those people that stand out in our society, that there's something different about us. There's something unique. There's something in our eyes. There's light in our eyes. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit. When someone can look at you and say, "I can tell you know Jesus." Paul says it this way to the Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." What's he talking about? Is it an instant? It just happens? No. What happens is you give your life to the Lord. He washes you, cleanses you up, and then you got to remain that way. You got to stay that way. You got to, old things, old behaviors. You cannot, You cannot be saved, you cannot truly have had an experience with God and the Holy Spirit, and then still put your hand back to the things that you used to do. You can't expect God to bless you exceedingly abundantly if you're going to be disobedient to him. So there should be a desire to say, God, I want to honor you. I want to be mindful of you. Again, as my prayer was this week, God, I want to do more for you. I want to be more available to you. If you go back to Titus real quick, one last thing. There's my alarm. Verse 7. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Circle the word justified right there. And alongside it write this. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's what justification is. And it says here that having been justified by his grace, by the grace of Jesus Christ, you are justified. You are looked upon as not guilty. You are looked upon as freed, innocent, just as if you'd never sinned. Wow, is that good news, huh? That's great. That I've never sinned, and we know we're sinners. But in the eyes of God, we've been justified, just as if I'd never sinned. That's a good place to be. And I don't know if you're dragging around a lot of heavyweight. I don't know if you're dragging a lot of burdens in your life. But listen, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Repent of whatever it is. Seek help in some of the things that you may be struggling with. I applaud those who come to this ministry and ask for help because they're falling short. I applaud those who say, listen, I'm struggling in this area, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a workplace or whether it's a friend or a family member, and there's bitterness in your heart, whatever it is, you come and you ask, pray with me, help me understand, help me to be loving. I want to love on people. I want to do what's right in God's eyes. That's what we need to remember. We so quickly forget. We so quickly forget because our focus gets off of God and now gets upon ourselves. And this is what Paul's saying to Titus. Titus, remind them. Remind them. Guys, the heart of this ministry is to remind you of the goodness of God, the power of God, the grace of God, and the forgiveness of God. Because when you remember that, you're just, oh, all the trash is taken out. And you're justified just as if you'd never sinned. And that's a great place to be. And my prayer is that everyone in this room is in that place of knowing that they know that they're going to heaven because of what Jesus did. Pray with me. Father, what a joy it is to read the scriptures and to know that there's some work that needs to be done. To read about doing right and submitting to authority, remembering what we used to be. God, all of these things are helpful to us. Because throughout the week, we kind of go astray. Throughout the week, maybe for some of us, we get a little distant from you. And so on Sunday mornings, we come to refocus our attention. And so, God, we ask by your Spirit, by the power of your Spirit, help us never to forget the work that only you have done, dying for us, taking our place, forgiving us of our sin. And then, God, help us to live lives worthy of salvation. Gosh, help us to be overjoyed because you saved us. Help us to be overjoyed that you finished the work upon the cross. That there's nothing more we have to do but just follow you. And I pray that we don't follow too far behind, but that we stay in step with you. So God, thank you for this time and thank you for your word. Help us to remember it, Holy Spirit, bring it back to our minds and to our hearts in the days ahead as we have need of it. Bless us as we go from this place, and let our light shine, God, for all the world to see. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.